going to be from Matthew chapter 19. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Version. Matthew 19, beginning in verse 4. And he answered and said, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female, and said, 'For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate.' They said to him, 'Why then did Moses command to give her a certificate of divorce and send her away?' He said to them, 'Because of your hardness of heart, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it has not been this way. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for immorality and marries another woman commits adultery.'"
We are blessed with a lot of visitors this morning. We appreciate your presence. We're thankful you can be with us. We had a pretty special weekend this weekend. Our students put together a series of studies on the book of Ephesians, and particularly Blake Edwards was very involved in really organizing that and putting that together. I remember a few months ago coming to me at, we met at Burger King, and I was thinking, oh, this will be nice. We'll have 15, 20 people come up here for study, and, you know, it'll be a nice, neat little thing. Well, there were 80. They had two classes Friday night. They were scheduled to go from 9 to 3 yesterday. I was in my office thinking everybody had gone home. I came out, talked to Yvette. It was 5 o'clock. I said, "Well, everybody gone home?" He says, "They're still going." And it was very encouraging to see a series of classes done by our students, taught by them. We had some from Atlanta that did some teaching as well. We had students from Atlanta, from Birmingham, from Huntsville, and all over. Yvette told me we had 14 people at our house that spent the night Friday night. So if I got up in the middle of the night, I'd have probably step on a body somewhere that was sleeping on the floor. But it was really encouraging. And I'm hoping to post the audio from the lessons and some outlines soon. And for those of you who were not able to be here to hear it, they did the entire book of Ephesians. Very encouraging weekend. We appreciate everyone being here this morning. We're going to talk about a sensitive subject, but one that we absolutely have to address. And that's the subject of divorce. I titled my lesson, "The High Cost of Divorce," and it's just going to be a frank discussion about the great suffering that occurs when one goes through a divorce, whether you have been wrongly put away or rightfully put away, or you have done that which was unwise, or you've done really what was right in the eyes of the Lord. We're just going to talk broadly about the great struggles that occur when the relationship of marriage breaks up because of sin. I've been mindful of Esau as an example of one who didn't think about consequences. We need to have the wisdom before we go down a path to understand what that path leads to. Esau, on occasion, because he was hungry, he wanted some soup. He sold his birthright for that. He's described as a profane person. And in other words, he didn't put value on that which God put great value on. In Hebrews 12:16, the Bible says, "Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears." We need wisdom. That's one of the beautiful things about trusting God. I don't have to figure out what everybody may do or may not do. I don't have to figure out the consequences for all the possible scenarios if I make this choice. If I stay within the will of God, His wisdom will be behind me and bring great strength. But I know how it is in life. There are times, maybe because a person has not been very spiritual, there are times when there's pressure and there's stress.
And there's our emotions that sometimes get stirred up. And I understand how that works. But a person can make a decision and they jump down a path that they ought not. And it ends up having consequences not only for their life, but potentially for eternity. One writer says, so many persons think that a divorce is a panacea for every ill to find out that when they try it, the remedy is worse than the disease. Yvette and I decided to do something this month. We decided to try to find as many new couples as we could and invite them over to our house. And some that had been married a little longer, we thought they would be with us. And it was a wonderful turnout. Matter of fact, it was gone so well, we're thinking about doing this on a monthly basis. And the couples, after we had a meal, we talked later. And one of the things I wanted to tell them is that I remember an occasion 30 years ago when my brother first married. And there was a set of 10 newlyweds at the old 77th Street Church. And I knew those couples. Within 20 years, 8 of those 10 couples were divorced. And that was a shock to me to no end. And one of the things that the purpose of this lesson, and one of the reasons why we're talking about this now, on this end of marriage, let's understand that divorce is a path that if you're married to another Christian and you're faithful to God and your mate is faithful to God, that is not a path we're going to go down. I pray that will be the goal that we set. I know that in our marriage, Yvette and I talked about this before we married, and I recommend this to every couple. Don't use divorce as an option. Don't use that as a threat. Don't even use that word. You see, God designed marriage for our good. In Genesis 28 and verse 18, it says, the Lord God said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Verse 24, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And as we read in Matthew 19, what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Marriage is a blessing. We are created as social beings to belong. Outside of becoming a Christian, the next most important decision that you will make in your life is who you marry. And one of the goals of this congregation, one of the goals of the home, is for us to teach on this relationship and strengthen that relationship. We cannot let our guard down lest we get into a situation where Satan gets an advantage. Marriage is a perfect relationship, and we cannot improve upon it. We need to maintain it. Now, one of the things we've already looked about is that we need to understand from a scriptural standpoint that really divorce is not an alternative in terms of discomfort. There are some people that say, well, if it just doesn't work out, then you can divorce someone and you can marry again when it does work out. Well, no, that's not what the Bible says. We can look at verse 6. We've already quoted the Genesis passage. But Jesus says, so then, they are no longer two but one flesh. Therefore, what God hath joined together, let not man separate. This world thinks nothing of divorce. I've heard of young couples getting married, then after a few months, oh, well, we'll just annul our marriage. There's no such thing as annulment. That is a divorce. And whether or not you've been married for a few months or for a few years, God has said, what God has joined together, let not man separate. Now, I understand scripturally. There is a time and a place where one can put their mate away and it be biblical and it be spiritual. There is a place for a faithful Christian where they could put their mate away. The Bible says in Matthew 5:32, but I say to you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. You can put your mate away if they are unfaithful to you. But can I say this? Demanded. There is a choice to be made, and trust me here, I don't have near the time to talk about the criteria in which you would judge that. Here, let's say a mate is guilty of adultery. You may choose to bring that one back, and you may choose to try to make that marriage work, and there's a place for that. There's another time where one may conclude because of maybe numerous instances and because of a breakdown of trust and because of other factors, that marriage can't continue, and they have a right to put that person away. But as you're making a decision like this, you need to consider the consequences. Whether or not you have rightly put one away, whether or not you've been wrongly put away. Maybe in this case there was nothing you could do and this was forced upon you. When divorce occurs, there is a violation of God's commands somewhere. Either someone has sinned and they've been caused to put away, or maybe one has put away for the wrong cause, or maybe both the husband and wife just took God's laws lightly. The divorce law that God has given is strict, it is narrow, and it is for our good. Just like in the Old Testament. As the law that God gives, He's thinking of us. It says, and the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that He may preserve us alive as it is from this day. Now, if we could, I want to talk about consequences of divorce. And what I'm going to do here is I'm going to work backwards. I'm going to work from eternity backwards and look at the potential consequences of divorce. One thing that I know, I can say this from just observation. Satan loves divorce. In the book of Malachi in the Old Testament, God says, I hate divorce. And let me tell you why. Those who go through that, the pain, the hurt, the ungodliness that is present, at least in some extent, causes many people to turn away from God. The Bible talks about hell. The Bible says in Revelation 22 and verse 14 about those who go to heaven. And the Bible says, blessed are those who do His commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and adulterers and whoever loves and practices a lie. Here in this context, you see, there are those that go to heaven and they love God and they keep His commandments. And then there are those that are involved with immorality, with murder, with lying. And I'll tell you one thing about divorce and the breaking up of that close relationship. There's all kinds of evil that comes with that. You can put your mate away because you're stressed, because you just want immediate relief and you don't think about God's will. And you know what the Bible says? It says you've sinned. And the Bible tells you that in that sin, you are not only sinning against God, but you're sinning against another. You could, by putting a person away for a false cause, could force that person to commit adultery, because in all likelihood, when divorce occurs, people remarry. And the Bible teaches not everyone can remarry. Whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. And there's something wrong when a child of God says, I know what God says, but I got to do this anyway. There's something wrong. And what happens when you start walking down that path is you can develop a hardness of heart. There's an attitude here, well, God says this, but I got to have relief. God says this, and I'll do this, but then I'll never remarry. I'll do this, and I'll serve God faithfully from here on. You're looking at a command of God in the eyes and saying, I'm going to break it. Let me tell you what happens. Now, I realize we all fall short of God. We all fall short in sin. And I recognize we all, every Christian struggles with sin, and we must repent. And sometimes we can be very arrogant in doing that. But there is a great danger when we look God's command in the eyes and we go against it, because we can end up with a hardened heart over time. In Ephesians 4:18, the Bible says, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. Because of the blindness of the heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness, greediness. When people do us wrong, it creates a scar. When we sin against God, and there's the guilt of that sin, there's a scar. We need to have a good heart. We need to understand the respect for God's word is the respect we have for Jesus Himself. You can end up in a situation. When you divorce, the Bible teaches you cannot remarry. If you divorce for any reason, you need to be reconciled. Again, this is not going to be a full study on marriage, divorce, remarriage, but you can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and you see a situation where a Christian had been divorced, and their option was to be reconciled or remain unmarried. You can end up in a situation choosing to remarry, and most people do. And you can end up in what the Bible would describe as living in idolatry. And not idolatry, but adultery. You can live in idolatry too in this verse, but in Colossians 3:5, the Bible put it this way: therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. You do not want to be living in a situation where you are in sin. And I know in the religious world today, are you saying that people could be married and in that marriage be in sin? Yes, the scriptures talk about that. Statistics, 75% of divorced people remarry. 60% of them already have children. Let me tell you another thing that happens with divorce. Again, we're talking about trends here. But oftentimes when you go through divorce, you oftentimes will see more divorce. A high percentage of second marriages fail. And the reason why is multitudes. There are multitudes of reasons why that happens. Many times a marriage fails because a person hasn't learned how to work out problems. Many times a marriage fails as a person hasn't really developed a biblical faith that will go through the hard times and stay steadfast and work through them. I remember several couples that I had a chance to talk with over the years. I've had couples come to me, and it's almost like visiting the morgue. You bring out the dead body and say, here, do something about it. I've had some couples come to me, they're ready to divorce, and they say, here, do something about it. And one of the things that I've said to some that have actually worked, I remember one man, he was ready to divorce his wife, and there was potential cause for him to divorce his wife. And I said, you know what you're likely going to do if you divorce her? You're going to turn around and find somebody just like her, and you're going to probably marry her. He goes, what do you mean? Well, think about it. Why were you attracted to her? And what kind of strengths and weaknesses came with that? And as he began to think about it, he said, you know, you're right. I would probably go right back out and marry somebody. Well, let's make this marriage work. And they did. And they're happily married, and they're faithful Christians in the Birmingham area, and they have children. But I'll never forget that it was almost like they came to me, and they was like, it's over with. This is not. And at that time, he wasn't a Christian, even when he came to talk to me. You see, if you can get to the point where you take the easy way out, you can, with brazenness, break one covenant. You can end up breaking two. Let me remind you what the Lord says about divorce. In Malachi 2:16, for the Lord of God of Israel says that he hates divorce, for it covers one's garment with violence, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, that you do not deal treacherously. Verse 14, it says, yet you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt treacherously. Yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant. You got to learn how to make it work, and marriage has its tough times. Don't think of a divorce as just some relief. You know, it is not uncommon for a person who destroys a marriage than to have several live-ins. It's not uncommon. We live in a time today where all kinds of things follow the breakup of a marriage. There's another thing that happens with divorce, even if you're innocent. And I'm not saying you can't divorce somebody because they're unfaithful to you. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that you couldn't be innocent in this and done everything you can and be divorced. We're just talking broadly here about consequences of divorce. One thing is for sure, there's a scarred life. Marriage is such a beautiful thing. You trust someone, you commit to be with that person for life, and then it breaks up. I think it can rightly be said that going through divorce in many cases is worse than having your mate die. The emotional struggles and the hurt that comes from that. The pain and the scars are hard to overcome. One writer says being divorced is like being hit by a Mack truck. If you live through it, you start looking very carefully to the right and to the left. And there's the memory that's always there. There's tremendous struggles that come when one goes through divorce. You look at the consequences in so many areas. A study of divorced couples with preschool children shows that a year after divorce, 60% of men and 73% of women feel they made a mistake and should have tried harder to make marriage work. There was a man that wrote to Ann Landers. I don't necessarily recommend those columnists. Now, this is an old one. I don't know if she's still living. I think she may be. But anyway, she wrote this letter years ago. It says, 11 years ago, I walked out on a 12-year marriage. My wife was a good person, but for a long time, she was under a lot of stress. Instead of helping her, I began an affair with her best friend. This is what I gave up. Seeing my daughter grow up. The respect of many longtime friends. The enjoyment of living as a family. A wife who was loyal, appreciative, and tried very hard to make me happy. This is what I got. Two-step children who treated me like dirt. A wife who didn't know how to make anything for dinner but reservations. A wife whose only interest in me was how much money she could get. A wife who disparaged my family and ruined all my existing friendships. Finally, the best thing I got was a bitter, expensive divorce. And tell your readers that anyone who is married and has his or her next mate all lined up is looking for trouble. People don't know what they're giving up till they no longer have it. Then it's too late. Don't think those things can't happen to us. Brethren, I do not want to be morbid. I do not want to be negative and somehow just have us fearful. But these things could happen to any of us if we're not careful. Any marriage in this congregation could break up if we do not love God and be servants to our mate and understand the danger of unwise relationships, unwise use of the internet, unwise flirting, unwise associations. It can happen to any of us. I'll never forget a congregation that I almost moved to in the Birmingham area, in the Alabama area years ago. I didn't move to that congregation. Another man moved there, and about 2 years later, he ended up not even making it into services one Sunday night because he was in the parking lot trying to deal with a situation where there were several couples who had been committing adultery with one another's mates in the Lord's church. These things can't happen. They ought not to happen. But I'm just trying to say, be wise. There are consequences with the children. One of the greatest consequences of divorce is children that go through that, because I know children, they don't understand. They look at mama and daddy and they want mom and daddy to be together. They look at the conflict within marriage and that creates great fear within them. One of the things that I have seen with my own eyes in working with the children whose parents have gone through divorce, many times the children blame themselves. Young children think, well, mom and daddy broke up because of me. I know it doesn't make any sense. But children oftentimes come out of that with various issues. One survey, it says children are more likely to suffer from depression when they grow up if their parents divorce than if one dies. And can you imagine? You oftentimes don't think about this for divorce. But when divorce occurs and there's children, you've got visitation, you've got holidays, you've got family issues, you have a train of things that will come along with that, even if innocent, that you've never anticipated. And it's tough. I remember one brother, there was a gospel preacher, and he had been unfaithful to his wife, and his wife put him away, and he was a good friend of mine. It's pretty tough after a summer. Having your children and then seeing them go away to another state. And I will tell you what, that situation ended up, though, in the long term for some good. But it's still tough. And I'll tell you, if you don't have wisdom in their children, sometimes they're pressed to choose sides. And it's very difficult to be able to teach your child when you've got a situation like that. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Why do children learn about marriage when there are consequences like this? It's not uncommon to see people end up going through having difficulty relationships that could last generations. Divorce affects the church. You know, the church is going to be a place, I'm hoping this church will be a place when you go through difficulty, we can be there for you. But I'm also hoping this church will be a place that when you're going down a path you ought not to go, you will have brothers and sisters that you already have a close relationship with that will say, wait, think, consider. I've been in small groups, and buddy, you want to drop a bombshell on a group, and you have two Christians deciding to divorce. It affects the church. It can create great pain and discouragement. Now, let me tell you, if you're going through that, don't pull away from Christians because you don't want to hurt them. We want you to let us help. We're not telling you you're going to be a burden. Don't take it that way. But it's still a tremendous struggle, particularly when there's somebody that has done things they ought not. I cannot tell you how many people that I've known in the church that they appeared in the pew to be faithful. In some cases were elders, some cases were preachers. And then it comes out, the bombshell comes out, they've been having this affair and they've been hiding it for this length of time, and then boom. Well, it's a terrible discouragement. One of the things we need to do, and again, it's sort of the thrust of my lesson this morning, make your marriage strong. We have every advantage in Christ. God made the marriage relationship. We have every advantage that we as Christians who love the Lord, we ought to have a marriage that cannot be broken up. If we'll give attention to our faith, the Bible says in 1 Peter 3:7, husbands likewise dwell with them, that is the wives with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. That's what we are in our marriage, heirs together of the grace of life. We're going to the finish line of heaven. Marry a Christian, first off. Don't marry somebody that's not a Christian. You don't have the power of God behind you. But Christian, when you have a Christian you're married to, you make sure you don't take your mate for granted. You love them. You serve them. You talk to them. You ask questions. You make sure that you're loving the Lord and putting her first or him first. It's important that we have those that go through those situations. Please don't quit. You know, I'll tell you, most Christians that go through a divorce, a small percentage survive, in my experience. Even when they have a right to put their mate away, there is such a struggle that goes with that. I commonly see the person fall away. I wish that wasn't so. And I really want to urge that. If you go through that, don't give up on the Lord. Don't give up on brethren. And God can have a potential for you. We studied this in our Joseph class this morning, of how even when Joseph went through an unrighteous thing and he was innocent, he could learn from that and comfort others. 2 Corinthians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble. It is good in a congregation like this to have those that have gone through the fire, and they could reach out to somebody else as they're going through this and say, I understand. And you can make it. I understand. And you can see your children raised to be faithful Christians. And you can go through these things. But as I look at these consequences, there's no wonder God says in Malachi 2:16 that he hates divorce. How do you avoid divorce? First off, brethren, don't be satisfied with just staying together. When's the last time you've taken your wife out on a date? When is the last time you've set aside time just for your mate and had time to really talk about your relationship and what you're going through? I want to tell you something. In this busy world, we can take our mates for granted. And life changes. It changes in a hurry. We have children, and that changes things. And our children grow up, and we get older, and our physical bodies change, and our schedule changes. There's change. Make sure you're doing more than just showing up at the house. Now, I realize there are times you can be very busy, but I talk about this sometimes. We kind of wave to each other as we're kind of going different directions. And I understand for a period of time that can happen, but that must not be the permanent way in your house. Don't settle for anything less than a great marriage. Sometimes I'm afraid we are accidents waiting. Accidents looking for a place to happen. Be mindful of this. I remember years ago, I wished I was making this up, but this is a good story, a good ending. I had a couple that showed up on my doorstep, and man, I thought so highly of them. And the man and wife were in a business together. And the wife had just started becoming friends with one of the partners in the business. But people started going to the husband, you need to watch out for this. There's something a little more here. This is getting a little too close. And he goes, oh, my wife never did anything. You need to watch out. And what had happened, fortunately, it was caught before it happened, but the husband was going on a trip out of town, and this guy had made arrangements to come over to her house. And things were getting a little more than just being friends, and he happened to have to turn around or something. He came back, and he ended up finding out that they were rendezvousing like that. And I'll never forget her in tears and just says, I just can't believe that I ended up going down this path. And I want to tell you something. They're faithful Christians today. They have faithful children. And they were able to avoid a situation. But here, what had happened here in their case, they just got overconfident. So be careful here. There are some warning signs. And listen, you may have some friends of yours that can be around you and say, hey, you're getting a little too close here. And this can happen within members within the congregation. You can be a little too close to the mate of someone else's. And you say, oh, it's nothing but a friendship. Be careful here. Along these lines, we need to eliminate pride. The Bible says pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. I'm not saying that you need to say, I'll just be suspicious of my mate and put a magnifying glass on him. No, I'm just saying to avoid both extremes here. You need to understand that you're a man, and you must be very careful about somehow not wanting brethren to know about any weaknesses or have a false sense of pride where we don't deal with the things that we need to deal with. One thing sometimes you need to do in marriage. Folks, we all have problems in marriages. Marriages go through struggles. It is great if you could have relationships with other couples and others maybe that are older and say, you know, we need a little help. There's nothing wrong in admitting there's a time of struggle and seeking help. But sometimes Christians have this idea, we're super Christians. We're perfect Christians. We can't admit any faults. And then you're just a setup for Satan to take advantage. That's why good counsel is recommended in Scripture. Proverbs 11, verse 14, the Bible says, where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. Proverbs 24:3, through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel you will wage your war, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety. That is what we need. But you see, proud people don't see a problem. They don't see it coming. And oftentimes, they start blaming and attacking rather than being humble and learning. Another thing that is important, and I think we've talked about this pretty well already, is that just keep communicating. Just make sure that you're still learning. 1 Peter 3:7, we read a moment ago, where it talks about for a wife to dwell with her with understanding. Could I say, men, we are not equipped by natural ways to understand our wives. Men and women are different. My wife thinks differently. She's put together differently. And in order for me to know what she's thinking and needing, I need to communicate with her. It's not instinctive. When we start thinking we can read minds, and we sometimes start thinking, well, my mate needs what I need, and I'll give her what I need, and I'm being kind, your mate could look at that as something that's really an insult. Just a joke along these lines, if I was a hunter, my wife's not a hunter, and I thought it would be a good thing to give her a shotgun for her birthday, you know, that might be a gift that I really think a lot of, but it's not showing understanding to her. I need to learn. And I need to be honest. Let me give you one more verse, if we could, and we'll try to bring the lesson to a close. In the area of communication, in the area of marriages, it's not marrying the perfect person. You should marry a Christian. You should marry a spiritual person. But the key to making it in marriage is learning to work out problems. And one reason why sometimes problems are not worked out is because we get angry and we shut down communication. We need to learn how to fight properly. We need to learn how to communicate properly. Notice James 1:19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. One of the things that Yvette and I tried to do before we married, and we are no ways trying to put ourselves together as a perfect couple, but we try to apply these verses, and you need to try to apply these verses. One of the things we tried to do years ago is we decided that we would not communicate to one another in wrath, uncontrolled anger. And so there would be times, you know, as the husband, there would be times that things were going on and I had no clue I was in trouble. I remember when we first got married that when my household, my mother did all the dishes and all the cleaning and, you know, you ate your food and you stocked up the dishes and you went into the living room and watched TV and mother did the dishes. I can remember one of the early meals we had people over and next thing you know, I started hearing the dishes clanging and clashing in the kitchen. You know, and I walk in there innocently. Is anything wrong? And what Yvette wanted me to do, and this is a radical concept, guys, I probably shouldn't mention it from the pulpit, might get you in trouble here, but I was to help clean up. Wow, that was a new thing, you know? And I had learned that. And one of the things we've tried to do in that setting is that whenever there's anger, we want to wait to let that anger calm down before we communicate. I tell you, there's situations. Here's what I hate sometimes. You know, I could tell that Yvette's upset about something. I said, is something wrong? And then we've got, you know, she said, yes, but we can't talk about it right now. That's one of our rules. We're not going to talk in anger, so you got to wait, you know. And I hate doing that. I hate waiting. What have I done? You know, oh, no, what have I done? What's coming down the line? But then when we'd wait, she'd be able to tell me, now, if I talked to you when I was angry, I just said some things I didn't mean. And the same was true for me as well. We have that, what we call a circuit breaker. And so when we do communicate, it's going to be communication where it's under control, and we have committed to one another to communicate. We're not going to go run and hide. Remember James 1:19. It's those kind of things that help keep the marriage together. And another thing that's important is to praise as well. Yvette knows this, that if I do something good and she praises me as a guy, you know, I'll do that again. And I will tell you now, there are times, again, guys, I hope I'm not getting you in trouble with this, but there are times I'll go do the dishes without her saying anything. How about that, you know? I guess in time, you know, you learn. You find out really what your mate needs, and you want to provide that. And so you need to dedicate yourself to meeting your mate's needs. That's how you should judge your marriage. You should ask and listen and not assume that somehow you know these things. I want to skip to the last point and then we draw a conclusion, if we could. I want to go to the last section here. Excuse me, I've got, okay. To draw a conclusion, we need to let God be the foundation of our life. When we do what Matthew 6:33 says, that we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things shall be added to you. When we do that, when we look at our lives as being a spiritual relationship, where the greatest goal in life is for us to together cross the finish line of heaven. The greatest goal in life with our children is to let our children go to heaven. You need to say that to one another. You need to say that to your children. You need to let your relationship in marriage to be a taste of heaven. And when you have that kind of thinking, there's not a problem that you can't face that God wouldn't help you through and help you to be stronger for it. I appreciate your attention. I know we've dealt with some difficult things, but at the same time, at the end, to look at the power that God has for us. I know in this life we may experience things that we're not at fault. We may experience things with people that can scar us and hurt us. But I want you to know our God is forgiving. Our God is loving. Our God knows how to heal. And our God can take you and build you into His child and help you to have a strong and powerful life. If you've never become a Christian, we invite you to, in a sense, marry Jesus. In a sense, the idea of coming into the church, the church is the bride of Christ. In Romans 6, it talks about we're baptized into Christ. We're baptized into a relationship, and that relationship with God is described as the family of God. Are you ready as a penitent believer to enter into that relationship with God? Can we assist you in any other way to finding that forgiveness and finding that relationship? We serve a great God. Our society has gone crazy. And this world is a dog-eat-dog world. But the Lord is not that way. And He can help each of us if we'll reach out to Him. We urge you to do that as we stand and sing.